Greetings and welcome to the Entheogenic Midwife Podcast. I am Omalewa, your host. I know it has been a while since I've done a podcast, but, you know, living my life, learning lessons, growing, evolving, being all the things that come along with the human experience. And with the human experience, learning that we've come to this planet primarily for two things. Many things, but we come here to live, and we also come here to die or pass on. The reason why I decided to do this particular podcast is because of my experiences with death or transitions of loved ones. First of all, I'd like to say that I am not an expert or certified counselor or any of those things, just a goddess living life, again, learning and processing it all, the known and the unknown, and whether I like it or not. So with that, again, this podcast is a divine portal into healing, into medicine, into all the things that we experience throughout these various cycles of life, death, and resurrection. As you all know, Baba Kalindi is and was someone that was extremely, extremely special to me, extremely important, extremely valuable in my life. So losing, or again, vocabulary, I can't catch every word, but yes, his transition in 2020 during the pandemic was just such a powerful experience for me, otherworldly, often not even having the right words to express how I felt during that time, even how I feel during this time, but it definitely had such a powerful impact on my life, along with so many others. You know, I know many of us here many of us here do know Baba, but however many of us don't know the great Ahati Kalindi Ihe, our godfather of psilocybin. So yes, losing him, losing him from the physical reality, I'll say, and his transition into the ancestral realm, deeply impacted me and my thoughts and my reality as a whole. Again, still processing that, as many of us are and have with losing loved ones during that particular time. In that time, up until this time, being here in Jamaica, meeting people, meeting new friends and loved ones and people that have become family and influential to the lives of myself and my children, making their transition as well. Really quick, going back to Baba's transition during the pandemic, it was just like everyone's world was changed, as individuals and as a collective. But really, that on top of that, for me, just put me in a whole nother different space. I'm no longer the same woman I was before. I don't think the same. I don't operate the same. And really learning that, that is one thing that death comes to teach us. It comes to teach us so many things. It comes to bring us into new levels of consciousness. Learning that death has a consciousness all its own. It has a technology, is a technology all its own. And again, learning, allowing it to change me, allowing it to evolve me into the better version of myself, the best version of myself. And in a way, feeling like death does that. It does evolve us into the grandest version of ourselves. With that, it really depends on how we are taught as a culture, as a collective, to process the loss of a loved one, noticing and observing that we're often riddled with what we call grief and sadness, maybe inner turmoil or confusion. It also can bring about great joy and celebration and laughter and joy. It's just like it brings in all the experiences that we experience through life, but more in a grand, impactful way that causes us to really be present and really almost forces us to elevate. Again, not being an expert and not wanting to be insensitive to anyone. So please forgive me for that. I know, again, death is a very sensitive topic for many. And depending on where we are in those different stages. With this topic, I also plan to open up more spaces for other people who deal with death, who have been impacted by death, and who teach about death and or transition of our loved ones into this space, so that they can share their perspectives, they can share their experiences, they can share their wisdom. And that's what this space is. That's what I do, along with many others. I hold space, creating sacred spaces for people to be unapologetically, without judgment, just holding the space. So again, I will offer this space to others to share. And if anyone has anything they would like to share or include, or if they would like to be a part of this experience through this portal, please feel free to reach out. Yes. So, dealing with these experiences, observing, really processing it from a place of observation with the many things that come along, just like, universe, what has this come to teach me? What am I supposed to learn? You know, how is this affecting other people? Some of these thoughts come from ego. I always like to refer to my first, my doula class. It may have been the first day or within the first week. They wrote on the board, "This is not your journey." And I've taken that into my life. As it relates to birth, you know, which my background is in massage therapy and childbirth support and education, postpartum, as you all know. So I took that into my life based on that training, that teaching, with allowing everyone to have their own experience, and that it's not my journey. You know, it is my journey, but also allowing others to have their own individual experiences without making it my own. So yes, coming from a place of observation. So being here in Jamaica and again meeting people and in their transition, whether through old age or crime and certain things, is just opening me up, helping me to grow, helping me to see life and death from a different perspective that I am grateful for. I'm learning, and I have to be grateful for it all, you know. One elder sister friend of ours that we love, very near and dear to Nia and myself. She just always checked for me, always checked for us, always picked us up here, you know, always asked for money. That's just our thing, you know. Love to see her, sometimes not. You know, that's just the reality. We have our days and our realities and the things that we go through from day to day. So this experience also teaching me that we don't always appreciate, you know, one another or our ways, you know, that we have. But yes, in her transition, you know, many of you know me, you know that I don't often find myself in churches, you know. I just tend to stay away from places that don't make me, you know, feel grand or really edify my soul or spirit. So when the elder passed away, I decided to go, you know, to the church and be a part of that experience. Not all of it, you know, how they do here. I'm still learning the culture here as it relates to the transition. So I didn't go to her grave digging, or I don't know if she had a 9-night service or a dead night service that they do here. You may want to read or research about that more. Just their cultural ways of preparing for their loved ones' return to the ancestral realm. But I said, you know what? I'm going to the church. I'm going to support her. So that's what me and my daughter did. We did. It's funny. My cousin came here to visit, and, you know, people bring me things down. And she brought me these dresses of hers that she had and decided to pass on to me. And one of the dresses looks like a church dress. Super cute. Peach dress with these little white flowers, and super cute dress. I love it. So I said, you know what? I'm going to wear the church dress. And I go and sit down, and we're waiting for things to get started. And the deacon comes up to me and he says, you know, long story short, he asked me to read a scripture from the Bible. And those who know me know I don't fool around with any of those things. But the point is, I decided to read the scripture and go in front of the church, because it wasn't for me, it was for her, you know. So I just decided to go up there and read that scripture to support her in this space, in the space, you know. So again, putting myself in more positions to be selfless as it relates to holding space and serving others. She always had things for me. She always had things that she thought me and my daughter would like. Some of it, not so much, but a lot of it, very nice things, you know. She was a very, you know, classy woman in her own way. She would get dressed up and have her things and clothes and jewelry and stuff like that. So, shout out to her. We really love and miss her very much. And just meeting others, you know, putting Nia into a tennis class here, and with her not having a lot of masculine presence in her life, you know, we have learned to be appreciative of the masculine energy we do have in her life, and to be more aware. And not just her, but for myself as well. Sometimes the people or the men we want to show up for us don't. But we don't want to neglect or negate the masculine presence that we do have. And it's really ever present, you know, just being able to hone in and recognize what we do. So sign Nia up for a tennis class. And boy, the coach was a riot, fun. He had all these names for everybody, calling Nia Whitney Houston, and had all these little pet names for the girls. I was Toni Braxton and I was Janet Jackson, but boy, the jokes, the laughter, the inspiration, the support, the love, my goodness. You know, so we always look forward to tennis, yes, for the sport, for the exercise, for the socialization and interaction with other children, but definitely for the coach. during the beginning when I first signed up for the class, and it's a bit of a story. I'll keep the long story short, but a young lady answered the phone and said, "I don't know why my dad is teaching tennis and he has cancer and this and that and he's, you know, just all these things that she projected into this experience, but I didn't know the man. I'm just trying to call and sign my daughter up for tennis." And with that, you know, going to the classes every week, multiple times a week, you know, seeing him and kind of thinking about the phone call, but not really, just being more present with his energy and love and laughter and phone calls to check on us throughout the days or if we didn't come, and him bigging us up, and, you know, if it's money an issue, don't worry about it, bring her, come, you know, just all the love, you know. From strangers that became family and friends. And he would call and repeating himself. But I just thought it was personality, you know. So letting him repeat himself and call and check on us. And, you know, just that whole energy. And life happens, right? So we weren't going to chess as much. But I get these, I don't know what it is, but just like, we haven't heard from coach in a while. Like, that's not like him to not check for us and repeat himself and, you know, like I say, pick us up, check for me and Nia. And called once or twice, no answer. So it's funny just how spirit moves. So we're in town this particular day and I'm like, we normally go this way. Should we go that way? Should we go this way, that way? Not sure. We can go either way, right? But okay, let's go this way. So we go this particular way and we're walking and we see the two other coaches. And oh, hey, you know, being here, been here for 3.5 years now, we've met many people who love and admire us and we love and admire them. So being out on the street, it's like, hey, what's up? You know, people looking for you, you're looking for them, just checking for one another. But we see the two coaches and we're just like, hey, you know, and you know, you kind of notice the look on people's face, but sometimes we're in our own world. And what's up with coach? Where coach at? He ain't with y'all. Where coach? And he looked at me. He said, "Coach passed away from brain cancer." And it makes you feel away. It does make you feel away. It's almost like the body naturally responds in what feels like maybe shock or disbelief, more or less, levels to it. You know, with all of this, there's so many levels to it. I definitely want to point out the transition of a parent, which I did sit with my father as he took his last breath many years ago. Kind of lost my point there, but yes. So the loss of a parent. I've never experienced the loss of a child, loss of a sibling, maybe, but not in a literal sense, you know, so there's that piece too, the transition of loved ones that are still alive and walking this planet Earthside, you know, there's level of what we call sadness and grief and death with people that are still alive as well, or even people that may be hanging in between the balances of life. I have lost a pregnancy before, so there's that piece as it relates to children that their souls don't make it Earthside for whatever reason. So there's miscarriage, there's, you know, stillbirth of children or children that don't make it to their first birthday. So again, many levels of death, you know. So this is, you know, what I want to call a little bit of death dialogue. It is such a topic that we tend to shy away from. It makes us nervous. It makes us uncomfortable. It makes us go into a space of maybe denial. Again, I'll have other people who will have more vocabulary and more experience and the right words to use as it relates to this particular topic. But yeah, experiencing it through, you know, people that are older or middle age or teenage, and people feel like they didn't live their lives, you know. And oftentimes our mind and our ego and our level of perception perceives these things in many, many different ways on many different levels. So yes, coach passing away, along with others here as well, but definitely some people that have come into our lives and have had a impact on our reality. Yes, so moving forward, and like I say, just want to share and kind of express myself. You know, oftentimes I have the ability to do that. Sometimes I don't. I have people that love and adore me and support me and big me up and help me when I have my areas of, when I have challenges, I'll say, as we all do, or our perception of challenges, I do have people that are there for me. And maybe sometimes not in the way I want, you know, but it still is needed and it comes, you know. Thank you to all of you who support me and that I can call and who call me when they feel it through the ethers that, you know, there's a shift in my energy or I pick up the phone and call, you know. So thank you for those of you who are here for me and who support me. But again, I wanted to open up this space for death dialogue for all of us, for the collective. And again, this is a healing space for myself as well. So here I am expressing myself and some of the experiences that I'm having here. About a month and a half or so ago now, I was somewhere where there was an accident at a pool. I had just arrived to the place, observing, you know, the children, the boys entering the pool. Again, I had just arrived, and before I was there, not even 10, 15 minutes went by, they were calling. I could hear people calling for help. So we went to go help, and there was an unresponsive 13-year-old boy that had been pulled out of the pool with his family. And, you know, I just immediately went to be of service and to perform CPR myself along with another gentleman for a long period of time, you know. And the young man never came to, you know, we're here in Jamaica where help or assistance like the police or, you know, paramedics and such, they often don't respond in a timely fashion. So after 45 minutes to an hour, you know, the young man did not make it. But with that, it just that experience in itself being messy because of the body going through its human nature, you know, and just, I don't know, just hopping in without thinking, which thinking often ruins so many things for so many people, but you know, whatever, many are just wired that way. But just jumped into action to try to, and not even try, just responding, you know, that's who I am. So after doing that with the gentleman, a doctor came and assisted with the CPR efforts, and I just kind of did my thing as far as, you know, just hands-on support of the people actually performing the CPR and talking to the young man and fanning him and wiping sweat and fluids, and it was just, it was an experience, like something that I never experienced before. My childhood friend, many of you know from the town I grew up in, Not sure where all my listeners are coming from, but he drowned when we were children and I wasn't there. But I still carry that around with me into my adulthood, you know, experiencing it different ways at different times in my life with different perceptions of understanding, just based on my level of growing knowledge and evolution in my awareness and such. But so that was a bit triggering for me as well. But just that experience as a whole, and yet again, the young man was deceased, you know, and it just is what it is. But in that, like, universe, like, why was I there? Why was I one of the ones to be hands-on support? You know, it's different from observing and looking and watching, but actually hands-on, like, attempting to bring life back into this young man, which... sometimes we want to jump in and change the trajectory of things that are happening, or hoping or wishing for a different outcome without sometimes just allowing, which is what I learned, you know, along with that experience. It's just sometimes holding the space, sometimes being okay with not knowing why you're supposed to be there, you know, just... again, just allowing, and maybe there's other words that I could use for that, but that's just where I am, just allowing, just appreciating, just being in a state of gratitude, just, they say playing your position, learning that this is one of my roles as a sacred portal keeper. Or a gatekeeper. And I'm like, you know, I'm used to ushering in life, you know, which is synonymous with death. But I'm, you know, it allowed me to sit back and see how I have been assisting with the departure committee, you know, with birth. We call it the welcoming committee. So, you know, recognizing and embodying my role as one of the welcoming committee with birth, which is such a powerful, beautiful experience. But learning about my role with the departure committee as well, or the transition committee, and allowing that to be beautiful and powerful as well. And allowing them both to be just what they are, along with their other, if we want to call them challenges or complications, unpredictable nature of things that arrive in these spaces. Like, you know, learning that. Because I always say with life challenges, I always say, I'm here for this. I'm here for it. You know, I came down to this reality to experience it all. I'm here for it. You know, and sometimes that's the mind or the ego, or sometimes the inner truth that speaks up. But it's like after that young man made his transition, it's like, no, I am really here for this, you know. So through this, allowing it to make me stronger, recognizing my strength in this space, recognizing what may even be weaknesses in this space, not trying to think about it too much as well, you know. And there's more to these stories, but just giving you a bit of a brief overview of just some of the things that are happening to me or happening for me along with others through death, you know, through the transition or passing of people, of loved ones. This young man, I never saw him before, you know. Yes, so when that happened, it was just like we were in one of the most beautiful places in the world. So it's just like, even though this particular shocking freak accident, even, you know, some of the vocabulary that we're used to, you know, describing these occurrences, like, wow, you know, the birds are still chirping, the wind is still blowing, the flowers are still absolutely vibrant and beautiful, the ocean has not missed a beat. The sunlight has not skipped a ray. It hasn't missed a beat. And even to see some of the other people that were, you know, around and part of the family, you know, not that they didn't have their expressions, but it almost seemed like very minimal expressions. Shock, maybe, disbelief, again, but sometimes just being too, you know. So sat with the family for many hours, just holding the space, not saying too much, offering water, offering hugs if I felt were necessary, you know, being spiritually led, especially for the children. But finding that one of the children even wanted to get back in the pool and swim, you know, my daughter was there as well. So she witnessed it. I asked her to step back. You know, she's my partner. she's my partner in life right now. So she's, you know, seeing, observing the situation. She's seeing mama in action. You know, I'm a teacher for her as well. We teach and learn so much from one another, but she actually jumped in as a support for the children, which I thought was extremely powerful and beautiful of her. Big up to Nia. But again, just the beauty and allowing and moving forward and sharing it with a few people. They're like, Jen, I think you're in shock. And I'm like, am I in shock? Maybe I am. Maybe I'm just holding the space and not allowing it to traumatize me or throw me off of my square or disrupt my nervous system or my energy field, you know. So again, allowing it to offer me the opportunity to step more into the I am, you know, and step more into, you know, the unknown, and allowing these different awarenesses and consciousness to come into my reality. So, you know, big up to the young man and his spirit. And briefly they spoke of him about the night before and how he talked about how he wanted to go into the army and buy a vehicle for himself and for his family and make money. And they spoke on like, wow, you really, you know, turning into a big man, you know, listen to you. And, you know, this was a young man who was ready to experience life in its fullness. And before 24 hours was up, he, you know, he transcended. So yes, yes. So again, learning from that, again, that's just been a little over a month, so it's still a part of me, you know, and also, still needing to have my deeper expressions, which I just often have to go into my spaces of solitude, usually with the psilocybin, just to release and just be uninhibited and out of my head and more into my body, because, you know, my mind, you know, may think it doesn't need to do certain things or that I'm okay and I am okay. But just allowing the space for holding the space for myself, I'll say that. Which for me includes, you know, spiritual bathing or water or, again, just the psilocybin up in the hills where it's just more pure and godly, and just the air quality is of a certain standard for me to just really be in the form of full expression, you know. But that, and also I sing, the deep breathing, and just standing 10 toes down in this earth element and being, you know. So again, just learning that I don't have to be all tore up from the floor up and sobbing and just out of my mind, and sometimes that's what's needed too. So, you know, allowing it to come as it should, and just being okay with it. And like I say, just constantly being a student as well as a teacher, where there's always room for improvement and learning and becoming a better version of myself. Good morning. Yeah, so moving forward from there, go to the market. I get rosemary from some local farmers here to do, you know, the smudge sticks that I make and share with the world. So haven't had my rosemary in a while. So this particular day, I make the choice. I'm going to get my rosemary today. So with the heat here in Jamaica, it's best that you get your butt up and do what you got to do before noon, before 1 o'clock. But sometimes it doesn't work that way. So this particular day is probably 4 o'clock. There's heat, there's traffic. It's just, you know, it's just a more busier time of day. But I'm like, I'm going to get this rosemary today. So I go to the local market, connect with the dude, you know, we're doing the thing, the back and forth, I'm getting my rosemary, and as I'm standing there, I see a friend, you know, someone that I've met here on my journey, and he comes through, like, there's this little walkway where people pass through, and I see him, hey, you know, big hugs, where you been, I ain't talked to you, blah, blah, blah. The whole thing, and, you know, we kind of just vibing for a minute, and, you know, he said, do you remember such and such? And I didn't catch the remember at the moment, because, you know, the guy, you know, people had their different names, and I'm like, yeah, such and such. He said, yeah, him dead, man, him dropped dead, we buried him 2 weeks ago, but before that, this is my friend. This is someone that I met here one day, and within 72 hours, he'd given me a key to his office. Gentleman going through a divorce and separation from his wife and child. He was at a very, I would say he was in a low point, but still putting on his best. Well-dressed. Nice office, nice business ideas. So when he met me, he thought that I would be someone that could complement what it is he was looking to do and overall hold the space. Here we go again. I'm just realizing it. He wanted me to hold the space at his office while he did other things. And, you know, I really didn't understand it at the time. And I was like, let me come by first, you know, before my yes, you know, learning, be mindful of these yeses, you know, go fill out the spirit, fill him out, check out the space and see what it is. So I decided to go in the office, you know, and he reassured me, you know, the office is there and there's TV, you can bring your daughter, like there's a shower, like, you know, whatever you need. So I'm like, okay, go check it out, check out the space. Okay, I'll do it. He's like, you know, I just need you to, if people stop by, answer any questions they have, give them my card, you know, if any packages are dropped off, like I just need somebody there. So I was like, okay, no problem. So that was what I did. Held the space for him, built a friendship with him, relationship, I'll say, and not in a intimate type way, but just our dealings with people, our friendships and with jobs or employees or just our journey throughout life, they are relationships. We do build relationships. So build this relationship with him, this friendship, and I like to share my love. I like to share my magic. That's just who I am. That's just what I do. So would come by and sprinkle my magic. Again, I'm knowing that he's not in the best space. Guess what? I'm not always in the best space either. You know, we're all carrying our experiences around with us, but, you know, trying not to, or not allowing it to overpower our conscious reality, right? The subconscious, many have control of it, many don't. Many don't realize how present it is in our conscious reality. But sprinkling my love around, sprinkling my magic around, smoking this place out from time to time. And he doesn't smoke, very polished professional. But me, being me, and that's part of sometimes the contrast that I bring into people's reality. They can be so stush or so you know, particular in their ways, or bougie, or just set in their particular realities. And here I come, much of the total opposite of what they may believe in or accept. And just here I come, and they kind of can't help but to love me, right? Who doesn't love me, you know? But yes, so sometimes I would leave incense around or write a little note on a notepad just to have a great day, or, you know, because oftentimes he wasn't there and sometimes he was there, you know, but I knew within a couple of days or so he would come by and see the note and know that I had been by, you know, the office to do whatever, to hold the space or just to have a place for me to go to as well, you know. So with me being here in Jamaica and some of the beginning, not knowing a lot of people or not having a lot of places to go, it was wonderful that he offered me this space. So he was holding space for me as well, now that I realize it. Sprinkling my love, sprinkling my magic, sometimes hopping up with rum and let's have a drink, you know. So he brought some nice crystal glasses for us to share, or whenever other people would come by for them to share and have their drinks or whatever. I may have even bought the glasses to have there. I'm not sure, just to have some nice, you know, elegant glassware or what have you. But yeah, so space for my daughter, holding space for her, and sharing food, or like I say, just good vibes. But, you know, with him, he was on this money chase and really almost trying to kind of save space or bounce back from the divorce and the challenges that he experienced from there. But he eventually, you know, went to the States, and I can honestly say he pissed me off one day, and I just you know, allowing people to have their experiences and feel how they feel and be in their modes and their zones too. But sometimes you in your mode and you in your zone too. And sometimes it's just we match energy, you know, we don't have to. Sometimes we do. But this particular day, he made me feel a certain way. So I decided to meet him where he was that particular day. I wasn't all love and light that particular day. So anyway, returned his key a few days after that, or however that went, returned his key, and just kind of, you know, we just kind of had a bit of a separation, I'd say, you know. But he went to the States and had his experiences and just trying to, you know, for him to make money and just get more stable, you know. So when he came back, he reached out, and I was actually in the oyster mushroom cultivation class, my daughter and I, up in this town, up at this community college, which sidebar, which was really great because it was my daughter's. I won't get into that, actually. Anyway, we're up at the school having a great time learning and this whole thing, and he calls me Oma, you know, here. Omalewa is a bit of a long word, so, you know, many here, they, you know, I have many names here, from Rasta, the Empress, to Omalewa, some people do, but his name for me was Oma. So I get this message. At first, I didn't know who it was from. It was like, you know, hey, Oma, how are you, blah, 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 and I'm like, who is this? And he's like, who else calls you Oma? And, you know, I knew it was him. He is the only one who calls me Oma. So anyway, how are you? I've been to the States. And he shared and what had been going on and him coming back and just him starting this new reality and how he's thinking, you know, of course, like they all do. You know, I think of so many things that you said and the things you told me and things you shared and just you and your laughter and, you know, the joy and things you bring. How's Nia? And just, you know, so we kind of rekindled our friendship. And, you know, he's like, won't you come up sometime? He lives up in the hills. So I'm like, all right, I might come through. So went through once, you know, me bringing the herb, bring the rum. He don't smoke, but just really going up there to hold the vibe, you know, because where he lives isn't near where I live. So not far, not a huge journey, but, you know, a small sacrifice, but also needing the friendship, the relationship, you know, the masculine energy, even though it doesn't have to be sexual, it wasn't sexual. But so going up there, catching the vibes, being in the hills, overlooking the landscape and just chilling, you know, sharing, chilling, don't stay long, you know, but go up there and share. And months later after that, he called, "Mom, I ain't see you. Where you been? Won't you come up sometime?" I'm like, all right. So go up, and he's sharing that he met a gentleman who was talking to him about psilocybin mushrooms, which he knows that's my thing. So we went walking. He took me up on some land, and we walked and we laughed and we shared, and it was hot. And, you know, I met the gentleman, and he was just so excited about starting this new farming venture. "Oh, Mom, I'm going to be farming," and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, good for you, you know, long overdue, you know, the soil is rich and healing and you need that. You know, I've been telling you that, you know, kind of thing. So did that, like I say, walked and picked peppers, and, you know, me picking flowers and just holding the vibes, just being love, just being light, just sharing and receiving, you know. So it was just interesting that for the past weeks, I'm like, I ain't heard from him. Like, that's odd. I haven't heard from him. But, you know, I've been doing my own thing and in my own space and processing and working and being and doing. I hadn't reached out. And like I just say, it has just been on my spirit. So, yes, and that's making me think about another loved one, Kai Wingo, from Ohio, our mushroom goddess as well. She just crossed my spirit. And I won't get into that right now. Maybe it'll come up at another time. But he had been on my spirit so heavy, and I didn't call. And I'm wondering why he didn't call me. And sometimes, again, maybe, I don't know why, just gratitude just came up for me. Maybe, you know, sometimes we take each other for granted or take those feelings or those nudges from spirit for granted even. But I'm like, he didn't call me. I didn't call him. Maybe I'll go up there. You know, I kind of need a break or to share about the young man and just kind of, you know, be up there in the space and just share. You know, that's my guy. So when I went to get the rosemary and heard that he passed away, I'm like, how? Not him, you know? So just seeing you guys and learning, I'm going to wrap it up here, that just any of us at any time can go. You know, we could just drop without warning, you know. And I do remember him having, you know, sharing some of his health issues that he had been dealing with from the time he was younger. And, you know, me making 1,001 suggestions and tips and tricks and rituals and things that that he could do to heal himself or just, you know, change some things around. But that didn't happen, and that didn't have to be the reason for his transition either, you know. So just breathing through it, you know, being grateful, remembering the good times, the great times, the not so great times, because those were learning experiences too and teaching experiences too, you know. So big up to him. Big up to him. Part of that too, one thing I'll share is he looked just like my daddy. He looked just like my daddy. And that was one of the things that attracted me to him. And like I say, not in a sexual way, but He reminded me of my father. He looked just like my father to me. And that brought up other triggers for me as well. That I, you know, that I'm sure will come up at another time. you know, going through your phone, deleting messages. We didn't have a lot of dialogue like that. So, you know, your phone, your storage does its thing. So you go through and you delete the messages and things. I'm sorry, y'all. Let me pull it together. I had sent a picture of him to my mother. My mother met him when she was here and chilled at the office and, you know, shared space and all of that. Because that was the spot, you know. That was one of my little, you know, places here where I went to, you know, do my thing. So, of course, my mother became a part of that experience. So, some months ago, he had changed his profile picture. And I thought it was a nice picture. And I sent it to my mama. My mother, like, look, mom, you know, I'm looking like daddy and shit, you know. So, I messaged her and, you know, let her know that he had made his transition. And she sent me that picture. And I'm still in disbelief, for real. Yes. So, still learning and allowing and healing, if that's what you want to call it. But, yes. So, I just wanted to get up this morning and share and open up this space for us to talk about something that we're all going through, have gone through, will go through, don't want to go through, don't want to think about it, don't want to talk about it. I'm here to open it up and talk about it with you all. So I hope that this effort of mine or this expression of mine helps other people, or just helps people just open up and talk about it and share and leak a little bit, if that's what needs to happen. Because I leak sometimes. And the leaking oftentimes needs to happen. I often say that crying is the human body's one of its best forms of purification. So as I cry, as I leak, as I express, my body is purifying itself to make more room for love and light and more laughter and whatever else this experience will bring. So thank you all for your time, your energy. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your support throughout the years, throughout these experiences that I'm having here. And for those of you who I have been allowed to support and encourage and empower through your spaces of transitions for your loved ones. So virtual hugs, virtual kisses, virtual love to you all. I think that's it for me for now. So yes, have a wonderful day. Stay tuned. Like I say, there'll be more to come, more to share. I'm not sure if I'll continue to use this platform or YouTube, but just allowing, like I say, allowing this to grow and expand and shift and transform things as it as it came to do, and just allowing nature to take its course, because death is nature. It's so natural, you know, sometimes always not how it happens for people. And that can be, you know, the part that I know can devastate or traumatize or send people into shock or into these darkness, shadow spaces and things like that. So again, wanting to be, you know, sensitive to us all. Again, please reach out, people, if you need assistance, if you find yourself in a place that's too dark, allowing, but also doing things that can help to alleviate the pressure, you know, crying if you need to, dancing, singing is my thing, singing and dancing. Really quick, when Baba made his transition, and me being in a space with that, through the medicine space, particularly, I told Baba that I will continue to sing and dance for you. And that was one thing that Baba Kalindi, that is, he loved to hear me singing and dancing. And like I said, that's who I am. That's what I do. And I know he loved it and appreciated it. And it always would bring out his singing and dancing too, which I loved and appreciated as well. But what I want to say is, when he made his transition, I said, Baba, I am going to continue to sing and dance for you, right? But it was way easier said than done, you know. So in those days to come, when I would sing and dance, it felt like pain, you know. It hurt, it stung like hell. You know, and sometimes I still leak when I cry or I'm out and certain songs come on that remind me of him or that I used to sing when he was around or sing to him. So still allowing that, still allowing the singing and the dancing to be a part of my expression, to be a part of my communication to my ancestors, to be a part of my gratitude, to be a part of my appreciation for them and their journey and through the good, the bad, and what we perceive to be ugly, just being in, again, a space of gratitude for life and a space of gratitude for death as well. So, again, thank you all for tuning in to the Indigenic Midwife podcast. Again, I'm your host, Omalewa, the Indigenic Midwife. Have a great day. More love, more light, more laughter.